thing as a catcher. And I signed with Baltimore because, first off, they gave me the money, what is equivalent of a major league contract. I mean, that's what it amounts to. I went to the big leagues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the bonus rule, but that was my objective money-wise. The actual bonus that I got was just slightly over the $4,000 or whatever it was. The thing that I, when I told you my total package was $20,000, that included salary for 2 years or two plus at $6,000 a year, which was the major league salary at that time.
Right.
And so that's really why I signed with the Baltimore. Chances of making it to big leagues, I felt, were quicker that way than than as a player.
Not only were you a good hitter, you were evidently an excellent fielder. You went your first 6 years without making an error.
Well, I was fortunate to have a very good high school baseball coach that knew how to teach baseball and teach discipline and know what to do with the ball. And a lot of that came from those days, but we worked hard on fielding then.
That's something the kids don't do today. My son's a pitcher, and he's a pretty good fielder, but they never do anything. The only thing they're ever told is when they get a ground ball, everybody yells step and throw, as if that's the only thing a pitcher ever has to do to field his position.
You have to know before the ball is hit back to you where you're going to step and throw it.
That's right. I don't think he's been taught. Well, I, of course, for a few years I taught him that, but since then I don't think he has.
I played infield. I played third base and shortstop a lot in high school and Legion ball, and I called it Legion ball. And so I was, you know, I knew how to play other positions. And then you played pepper for hours upon hours during spring training and even during the season. And you know, I took pride in trying to be the best I could as far as catching ground balls. In fact, we're getting the pepper game. Well, I go find the infielders to play against rather than the pitchers. Pitchers, you know, as a rule, you play a little while and you get to cutting up and horsing around, but get the pepper game with some of the infielders and it's a little more fun.
The kids don't know what pepper is today.
Not at all. Major league players don't know what pepper is.
It's hard to imagine. I know we used to do it when I was a kid. We did it for hours. And the kids' teams I've coached, and now I've got, Stan Musial team with the kids, you know, they're college kids now, and they're playing. And when I'm working with somebody, I tell the others to go off and play pepper, and I've got to show them what pepper is. And they seem to enjoy it once they get going, but they didn't have any idea at the start.
Well, see, when we started playing baseball, you have one field. Now major league clubs have three or four fields at their disposal.
Mm-hmm.
And we have one field, and you put all the players out there on that one field, and consequently you stayed out there for 4, 5, 6 hours a day, and it involved a lot of standing around, so people had to play pepper more. They had to do things to keep themselves occupied. Now you, with all the fields and the batting cages and the pitching machines and everything else you've got, it's organized, and a lot of clubs spend a couple hours on the field and they're through.
Mm-hmm.
In spring training, and you know, I'm not saying that's all good, because the strength and the pepper and the other things that are involved with it all, you know, now there's no need for the pitchers in the American League to hit playing Pepper, so they consequently they don't even play Pepper, and they don't improve the Steelers either.
Now, Don Mossy, who at the time he retired had the highest fielding average in history for a pitcher, credits Pepper with his ability to field. I don't think today.
I think you got to practice anything that you're going to try to do good.
Sure. That's all most things are, is repetition.
That's exactly right.
I don't think today that you could hold the young player's attention for the time it used to take to get through a practice with the one field like you described.
I don't think so either. I don't think you could at all.
That's a shame.
Besides that, they don't have the time to do it, you know.
Yeah.
If they're college players, they've got to go do classes or do something else. The professional players want to get their work over and be gone. So
I think there's just more to do overall than there was a few years ago, back when you and I were 18 years old. We talked about your All-Star game start and your shutout over the Senators. Is there a game other than those that stands out as maybe a big thrill for you, or the best game you had, or something like that?
Well, I pitched a game against the White Sox in 59, the one I mentioned, the 16-inning shutout.
Uh-huh.
And I won that one 1-0. And, I think that has to be the top game that I ever pitched.
Well, yes, that would be. That's going to be 6 pitches in a game like that today.
Yeah.
Where am I? I've got notes. Who, in your time in the majors, who was the best, best player or best hitter you saw?
Well, of course, I played against the Mantles and the Marisons and those type people. I didn't, other than spring training, really didn't see Mays and Mays and McCovey and those type people very much, except in spring training. Mantle, had probably the greatest ability of anybody I've played against.
Yeah.
I did get to pitch against Williams at the end of his career, and just watching him, I would have to say that he was the best hitter that I had seen. Now that, a year like George Brett had a few years ago, where he hit almost 400. But Williams did it over a career, and people have great years now.
Sure.
And they're comparable to what those players did. But I'd have to say overall that Mantle had the best ability.
One fella told me that 1956, I guess you missed it, Mantle was for that year was the best player ever played the game.
Well, I don't doubt it. I came in 57, but I can see how he could be at any given time.
Mm-hmm. And not healthy either.
Right.
That must have been something.
Very, very handicapped.
Who was the best pitcher you saw?
That's really a tough question.
Yeah. When I asked fellas the best hitter or best player, they answer that much more readily than they can the best pitcher. And frequently they end up naming six or eight pitchers.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah. Well, today, you haven't been an active ball player for nearly 30 years, and once you leave the eye of the fans, no matter how active you are in the game, still you tend to be forgotten. Do you still receive fan mail?
I receive a few cards, I mean letters every month. Every time a new publication comes out with addresses in it or whatever, I get a dozen cards or so asking me to sign my pictures or our cards.
Mm-hmm. And are you, do you sign?
Yes.
Well, if it's all right with you, I will probably submit this in a much altered form from the way it would be in any book to a magazine as a regular interview. Of course, if you don't want to, I won't. But one of the side effects of that is a tremendous increase in the number of autograph requests for a period of 3 or 4 weeks. One fellow said he normally got about 2 a day on the average, and he got over 100 in the first 3 weeks after his interview appeared.
Well, that's no problem.
Well, you're going to be awful busy there in Detroit.
No, but I'll get to him.
That's good. I don't understand the mindset that doesn't want to sign autographs, but I guess that's an individual thing. Did you save souvenirs from your career?
I saved some, and our house burned about 12 years ago.
Oh, boy.
Most of them burned up.
What a crying shame.
Yes, very much. Did
you salvage anything?
The house burned on the 4th of July from the top down, evidently from a pop bottle rocket.
Oh, boy.
And I had most of my stuff in the attic, and I salvaged none of that.
Oh.
I had a few things, a few baseballs and a few clippings downstairs in a cabinet, and they were spared. Some of the stuff got water damage, but they were in a cabinet, and they were pretty well kept. But I lost most of it.
That's a shame. It's good to save something, but that's really a shame to lose things that you've kept for years.
After I went to Cleveland, Early Win came back and won his 300th game, and I got to pitch the last 4 innings of that game.
Oh, right. I remember that.
And got a save in that game, and he took a baseball and put the lineup on it. He drew lines and then had each guy that was in the lineup autograph it. And Bertie Tebbets was the manager. I thought I had lost that baseball in the fire, and a couple of years after that, when we were moving back in our home after we rebuilt, going through some stuff and found it, and Bertie Tebbets had not signed it. Everybody but the manager had signed it, and so I took the baseball. I was working with the Yankees at the time, and Bertie was also, and I took the baseball and had him sign it for me.
Well, can you imagine on today's memorabilia market what that's probably worth?
No, I couldn't.
Boy, oh boy.
And we won't mention that one.
I guess not.
No, we won't mention that place.
Well, that's something that is, I guess if you had to save something, that's got to be a real treasure.
Of the things that I wanted to save, that would have been the top.
I'm a little surprised to find it after you thought it was gone.
Yeah. Really, you know, I didn't remember a lot of the other stuff that I lost, but I knew that baseball was there, and I was really thrilled when I found it was in my house.
Boy, I bet.
Not in the attic. But, you know, if you say anything about that, most of my memorabilia stuff was destroyed in the fire.
Yeah. Who was it? Reggie Jackson just lost everything here a few weeks ago? Can I ask you a few questions about what
he lost everything, but he has 3 homes, and so what was in that home, what was in the others, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think he's hurting anyhow.
I don't think so.
Pardon?
He shouldn't be.
No, goodness no. Can we talk about the direction the Tigers are going to be heading in right now?
Yeah.
Okay, what are your priorities? I know you just signed Tettleton and Terrell and Tamana. I guess you got to work on some other letters of the alphabet now, but what are your priorities?
Well, we're looking to add some outfielders, trying to get a little bit more speed. We were sort of a one-dimension ball club this year. We either hit the ball out of the park or and scored a bunch of runs, or we didn't score at all.
Right.
So we've got to try to, you know, even things up a little bit. And, of course, we're still looking for pitching in the middle relief area.
You're looking to free agents, or are you going to try to develop?
Well, we're going to try to develop. I'm not going to say that we won't sign a free agent if one is available at a, you know, an affordable price. Anymore, that's going to be a thing in the past, an affordable price.
Oh, boy. What do you have? The farm system, the Tigers farm system, has been wrapped pretty badly the last few years, but there always seems to be somebody to come forward. Kyler and Fryman, and every year seems to be somebody.
Kyler and Fryman were outstanding this year.
Yes.
And Livingstone came up, and he did a good job for us for the last couple of months. And, we got three or four young pitchers that have some ability, and I, you know, talking with Bo the other day, I told him we're just going to have to get lucky and have a couple of our kids come through, like Avery and a Merker and those guys did down in Atlanta.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Erickson or somebody, and then, you know, have somebody else step forward and have a good year to be in the thing.
This will be. I know you may not want to answer this, and if anything that I end up putting in manuscript form, I will not contain this, because this is something that probably is your opinion, and I don't think you would want known. But if you want to tell me, if you don't, just don't. But Shin Beckler has been quoted as saying that the Tigers are going to go after the best athlete available, and you are much more versed in this than I am, but it's been my experience that the best athlete is not the best baseball player in many, many, many cases.
Well, what Bo intended to say in that is that he wants somebody that is an athlete. You know, you can look at baseball players and say, well, there's been some outstanding baseball players that weren't good athletes.
Right.
But you get to thinking about that a little bit. And you think of your Mantles and your Mays, and, you know, and just, you know, go down through it. And there weren't very many of them that are good baseball players that weren't good athletes also.
Right. Okay. The way it was interpreted, at least in something I read, and maybe it's just my interpretation, that I don't know exactly how to phrase this. A boy that was what you're looking for is a good baseball player who is also a good athlete, not necessarily a good athlete who incidentally plays baseball. Is that right?
We're looking for baseball players.
Right, okay.
We're not going to go around and look at the basketball team and football team and say there's the best athlete on this ball club. We're going to sign him as a baseball player. And I certainly, you know, I can't speak for Bo, but I certainly don't think that was what he intended. The intention was, if you go to the minor leagues and look at any minor league club, and I'm not singling out anybody, and I'm not putting a knock on our clubs or anybody else, but you go around and you look at the minor league clubs, and you see a bunch of guys that aren't really good athletes. I mean, you know, they don't have good coordination, they don't have good bodies, they don't have a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at their baseball ability, and that's not very good either.
Right. Well, yes, the coordination.
Look at, what I'm saying is, if you sign 1,000 players, you know, what do we figure? 10% of them make it to the major leagues?
I think that's what the figure said in Baseball America here a couple weeks ago.
10.6, yeah. 9 something or whatever. But, you know, however you look at it, 10% of them make it. Well, there's a bunch of athletes that don't make it to the big leagues.
Mm-hmm.
There's some guys that are good athletes that don't make it to the big leagues. And not everybody that makes it to the big leagues is a good athlete. But, you know, if you're signing 1,000 players, and 100 of them get to the big leagues. Out of that 900 that don't, there are a lot of guys that you can look at their body and their either in size or strength or a lot of other things, and the fact that they just don't have anything going for them eliminates them from really being a baseball player. I think that's probably what Bo was referring to, that he wanted to sign people that are athletes, and if they have baseball ability, then they can amount to something.
Okay.
And I don't say that's necessarily right, but that's just, you know, what I think he was.
Yeah, well, that makes a whole lot more sense than the way I interpret it. Well, we're on the subject of physical ability and coordination. This is a total aside, and maybe you can tell me and maybe you can't. As I told you, my son's a college pitcher. They have no pitching coach. They had a pitching coach last year when he was a freshman, and they don't have one now. And he left, and they haven't replaced him, which seems a bit silly. He needs to... he's running, but he has no exercise program, no weight program or anything outlined for him. He needs to gain some weight, mostly upper body. What can he do?
Well, you know, it's tough to tell a guy what to do for upper body strength. You know, when I played, anything that had to do with strengthening upper body, they stayed away from.
Right.
Weightlifting and all that. And, you know, I've been around the game and I've watched what's going on, and I can't say that all weightlifting, you know, classifying it all together is bad. There are some things a fella can do to build himself up some that, in the case of a slender pitcher, can be beneficial. But I do know that that if a pitcher builds himself up too much in the upper part of the body, he runs into more problems than he does if he has no upper body strength at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my feeling is basically that that you run to condition yourself to run, and you throw the ball to condition yourself, strengthen yourself as far as throwing goes. I'm not familiar with what runners do, but I think as a general rule, you can say that runners run. They go out and they may do endurance running, they may do sprints and all that, but they run to strengthen themselves probably more than they go out and work with weights and stuff like that to strengthen their legs. And I just feel that that's what, you know, what a baseball player needs to do primarily is to throw the ball to strengthen his arm and to run to strengthen his legs. I know that those things are all right. You know, to just come off and say that, you know, a fellow needs to lift some weights and do all these things, I'm not sure of.
Okay.
Strength in the hands is very important, and you know, I think anything with grip and stuff like that, within reason, you know, would be all right for him.
Okay.
But I would really hesitate to, you know, try to tell you something over the phone that he might do in the other areas. Now, I'm not saying that if he gets with someone that knows what they're doing, specifically in regards to baseball and pitching, that he couldn't do something that would strengthen himself a little bit and increase flexibility in upper body with weight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it can be done, but I just keep...
Well, it's like prescribing a drug over the phone. I understand completely.
Yeah, I mean, I got a horse that has got this problem. Can't you just prescribe something so that he'll get all right?
I get those calls all the time. They don't want to pay that farm call.
Sure, I mean, why not?
I understand. Well, he'll be good to hear that maybe he doesn't need to exercise. He hates the weights.
Well, I'm one that is from the old school, and I don't think the weights are all backed up to be. But I don't think they're all bad either. It's at the right place.
Okay.
I really feel that way. That and I think professional baseball is involved by taking kids who are used to throwing a lot and bringing them to pro ball and then putting them on the schedule where they don't do it all. You know what I mean? Enough to develop.
That would seem to be disastrous.
I think we do it.
Do you remember J.W. Porter? Talked to him, it's been a couple of years ago, and boy, he's a nice fella. He told me, he managed in the Expo system for, I guess, a few years after he retired as an active player. And he said that when he was a kid, he had a good arm, and the kids he played with did, and they got that way. They threw, and they threw, and they threw. And he was being sent these boys, and they were told him to first time out, limit him to 30 pitches, and then work him up to 40 pitches and 50 pitches. And he said this wasn't the way to teach a kid to throw by not throwing. They had to throw. And he said he didn't think to abuse them, but he said he ought to let them throw more, but he wasn't allowed to do that, so he finally left the game.
I'm not sure that a guy shouldn't be limited for a while on his number of pitches, but ultimately he has to build up and throw and extend himself. I can remember throwing and throwing and throwing in spring training till your arm felt like it was going to drop off.
Mm-hmm.
And you go in and get it rubbed after you got through, and we used horse liniment.
Good stuff.
And after the thing was massaged and loosened up, then you came back and had a chance to get some strength in the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you never got it to the point where it was tired, you never got strong.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. I will relay all this to him. He'll be glad to hear it. I'm sorry?
The deal is now, you know, there's many fitness people in this game with all the exercises and all this kind of stuff, and there's more injuries now than there's ever been.
Yes, indeed.
Some of it is artificial surface, no doubt, but, you know, it's a funny business.
Yes, and too much money at stake to risk too much of it, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, you know, from the club standpoint, well, we can't risk hurting him, you know, let's don't do that. You know, I'm not being critical of anybody. I'm just making a statement that that's the way it is.
Yes, I understand. Thank you for all that. I'm going to relay it to him and let him decide for himself since it's his own. Let me ask you another question about the Tigers, the coaching shakeup. I guess that made more news than the Tigers' home runs this year. Who initiated? Was that Sparky's initiation? That was just at the time you were being put in your position, wasn't it?
Right. Most of the moves had already been settled before I got there. You know, I just happened to come on the scene and be the one to finalize it all. But what happened? Alex had talked about retiring for 2 or 3 years. You know, it's been written that he was going to retire, and that Bill LaJoy had hired someone to take his place, and then he decided he wasn't going to retire. And And Sparky even came out and said at the end of the year, after it was all over, that that he had to go to Bill and say, well, he's not leaving. And he said he lost his communication and his friendship with his general manager. And it was, you know, it's just an ugly scene. That's about the, you know, bad part about it.
From what I read, it sounded like a very uncomfortable situation.
Well, it was. Sparky and Alex have been very close for years and years.
I understand Alex is kind of bitter right now.
Alex is very bitter, and, you know, Sparky is very hurt by all of it.
I'm sure.
So, you know, it's something I'm sure will smooth out and work its way out some years to come, but it's not pleasant right now.
Okay, well, I hope so. It's those guys have been together a long time to part. I hope they can work it out. Okay, Jerry, I've taken an hour of your time. I really appreciate it. Do you have a pencil handy?
Sure do.
Okay, write down a name, okay? And tell your who's your Tiger Scout here in Kentucky?
Probably Wayne Blackman, maybe.
Wayne Blackman?
Yeah.
There's a boy here pitches for the Bourbon County High School, which is where my son went a couple of years ago. He was a JV then, and I didn't get to see him much then, but I've seen him since then. He plays shortstop and pitches. His name is Stephen Farrell. I guess it's F-A-R-R-E-L-L, but it may be F-E-R. The kid this summer, watched him in a couple of County Mac League games. He was hitting, this is he's a junior, and he needs a lot of weight. He's skin and bones. He's a good athlete. He's a football quarterback. But he was putting it up there in the mid-80s at